I've learned that to grow as an executive and to have a wider impact in the company, I need to make sure the broader team around me is successful. That is one big insight that I've had over the past few years.
Welcome to 20 Minute Leaders. Just sit back, relax, and learn from the leaders of today. It's a journey. Each one is different, unique, inspiring. Let's get started.
20 Minute Leaders is a proud supporter of Make-A-Wish Israel and Tech to Peace, and is in proud collaboration with Secret Chord Ventures, J Ventures, Riverside FM, Fusion VC, Birthright Excel, J Impact, Leap, Google for Startups, and Hippo, and in media partnership with CTech.
Hello and welcome to 20 Minute Leaders. This is an episode all about engineering leadership with Madhav Nair, Senior Vice President of Engineering at Zoom Info, a leading go-to-market intelligence platform designed to drive a brand's sales, marketing, and recruiting initiatives seamlessly and profitably. In his role, Madhav is responsible for leading engineering for all applications and data services, development, quality, and delivery of Zoom Info's software products.
Talking about engineering leadership, obviously, just reading out your background, it's so, so crazy and impressive. And I'm sure that if we were to go through each of your experiences, there would be a multitude of stories for you to share, things you've learned. What I really want to unpack with you over these 20 minutes is growing as an engineering leader and how you've progressed over the years to become, you know, the leader that you are today. What are some things that you've realized about engineering leadership, or things that you got excited by in the space, both from a technological perspective, but also from a managerial perspective? And so we'll definitely have a great time in these 20 minutes. So thank you again for being here. And I'll start off, you know, with just looking back. Tell me a little bit about how you are in this space, you know, Madhav. How, you know, what is the trajectory that you set out for yourself as you entered this engineering world?
Sure.
Well, I started my career like most of us in this space as an engineer. I was in development. I enjoyed doing development and I was happy doing that until one day, maybe 20 plus years ago, when my manager at that time asked me to interview a few candidates. And I remember going back terrified to my wife, asking her, what should I ask these candidates? What does this mean? Why am I interviewing people? But looking back, that was the start of the journey when I started learning how to grow a team, manage a team, and expand my role from there. So that was pretty much the start. I did continue doing development and coding for a while, along with managing people. But after a while, it evolved into more of engineering management, where I grew my trajectory from being a manager into a senior manager, director, vice president, senior vice president, and so on. So even though I still dabble in technology and code, I do not write code myself right now, but I believe I'm adding value in a ton of other areas. How has your thinking around tech evolved, or engineering evolved, over the years that you position yourself from developer to an executive? How has your relationship with engineering changed?
Sure. I don't know if it's specific to engineering, but I believe one of the foundational principles that I believe in is, as you grow up the career ladder, so to speak, and start interacting with a diverse group, you realize that your accountability is not just around delivering for your immediate team that you manage. It's about delivering for the bigger team. If you're familiar with Patrick Lencioni's works, he talks about the five dysfunctions of a team. He talks about the notion of, which is your first team. And what that means to me is, my first team is honestly my manager's team, right? The CTO staff, which I'm part of. So my success as an engineering leader right now, I would attribute to making the CTO staff successful and not just about my engineering organization. And that realization happens pretty late. I realized that quite late into my career, that up to a point I was focused on making my team outrageously successful, which I still need to do. But I've learned that to grow as an executive and to have a wider impact in the company, I need to make sure the broader team around me is successful. That is one big insight that I've had over the past few years.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Passion and excitement. we have the privilege of working in on problems and fields that we truly are excited about. So yeah, I generally leave this question to the end, but I think that this is something that I'll want to come back to in this episode. So tell me a little bit about your own passion and excitement in the field that you're in.
Sure. There are two things, one related to technology and product and the other related to people, maybe. Start off with the product and technology bit. I'm fascinated and passionate about companies in this space where you're no longer a startup. You've kind of evolved from being a startup. At the same time, you're not yet a 30,000, 50,000 people organization, right? So I'm fascinated by that in-between space by which how you can scale up a company which did really well as a startup into this bigger enterprise-wide organization. What does that really mean? It means that you need to scale in terms of your technology stack. You need to scale in terms of your processes, the scaffolding that you put in place, right? So what really got you to your first $100 million, to use the cliche, isn't what will get you to your $1 billion, right? So that is something I'm really passionate about. I enjoy working in that space where it's all about scale, technology scale, people scale, process scale, and so on, right? So that's like one thing I'm extremely passionate about. The other, which is more personal to me and more of a people-oriented area, is around diversity, equity, and inclusion. I do believe, and studies have shown that organizations which have a diverse workforce will deliver much more innovative, durable, and richer solutions to problems as compared to organizations or groups that are homogenous, right? So at any organization I've been in, especially the past 10 to 15 years, I try to make a difference in ensuring that there is attention to diversity, equity, inclusion. And we have a fairly robust, heterogeneous workforce coming from diverse backgrounds. And I've seen myself that the solutions that each of those groups provide, whether it's technology or around the product or design, right, becomes much more rich. So that's another area which I'm quite passionate about.
Very, very cool. And if you had to sort of put yourself, at not 30,000 feet, let's say 100 feet, and you're now examining your own relationship with the people you work with from a leadership perspective, and you look today at the way that you're looking at your leadership style, what would you observe? How does this interaction take place? What have you noticed to be most effective in being a good leader for the people that you're working with?
So I try to lead with empathy. What that means is being an active listener, understanding where people come from when they say something is really important to me, right? Especially when you're leading and managing a workforce that is distributed across the globe. We have teams in the US, in Canada, fairly big team in Israel, a fast-growing team out of India, right? And appreciating that people come from different cultures and backgrounds and how they communicate maybe different from the way I've been used to communicating, right? So when you go at that level, I really try to establish rapport, find a firm foundational relationship between the individual I'm working with or talking to. And that helps me a lot in all my interactions. And this is across functions, not just in engineering. If I'm meeting with, say, folks from sales or marketing or finance, right? I try to get that level of rapport and that relationship going, which I believe has really helped me and I believe will help everyone.
Yeah, I like that. So let's dive a little bit into ZoomInfo and what you're doing today as a company and what you're doing, especially from an engineering standpoint. So share with me a little bit about ZoomInfo from your lenses. I'm sure a lot of people listening already know ZoomInfo. It's a company that I personally am inspired by very much, but would love to hear it from your lips.
Sure. Yeah. We think of ourselves as the go-to-market platform, right? So ZoomInfo software enables business-to-business sales, marketing, and recruiting professionals to find, reach out, and convert target companies and prospects with our pretty much unrivaled data coverage, accuracy, and depth of contacts. So we provide the data, the tools, the insights that a sales and a marketing and a recruiting professional needs to kind of close their next big deal. We provide engagement platforms on top of that. It's essentially a go-to-market platform. And I joined the company 2 years ago, almost to the day. It was in October 2020 that I joined. At that time, my team, the applications engineering team, was about 150 people. And over the past 2 years, we've just increased by leaps and bounds. My organization has grown. It's about 500 plus people right now. The company has grown.
500 plus people. Unbelievable.
Yeah, the company has grown tremendously, and we continue to do really well in the B2B space that we are in. So it's an extremely fast-growing organization, and has been an awesome ride for me personally too.
And then a bit about the technological challenges or the technological, abilities that you're creating here. What are those like?
Sure. Yeah. So we serve over 30,000 customers. We have enterprises. We have small and medium businesses. We have mid-market. There's a wide variety of the customer base. We have grown through acquisitions as well. And as you can imagine, with each acquisition, we spend time in integrating the technology stack, right? So as we have grown, one of the challenges that we have faced is how to make sure the acquisition that comes in is integrated with the technology, can be part of our common platform. And it's more technology as well. It goes into the people and processes integration too, right? So those are kind of the challenges which we have been facing with. And going back to my earlier point around, how I find it fascinating to kind of help a company grow from being a small organization to a much larger. The processes and the tech stack that we were working on earlier is not quite what we would want going forward, right? So as we grow, we are spending a lot of effort in figuring out ways by which we can have quicker time to market. We are definitely cognizant of the fact that as you become a larger organization, processes will creep in, and we don't want to be overloaded by that. We want to continue to be nimble and be able to innovate at an extremely fast pace. And our technology stack has to evolve to match that. What does that mean? It means decomposing some of the monolithic applications we might have, right? We want microservices. We're investing heavily in micro front-end architecture. So we want to empower our teams to be able to deploy independent of, a central process and be able to do that with extremely high quality.
Right. And so you're talking about maintaining high quality, best practices, standards. How are you able to maintain your own ability to be with the best standards in terms of not necessarily obviously just like coding languages and syntax, but from an architectural standpoint, how can you, in the position that you're at today, leading more than 500 engineers, how are you able to maintain this level of sort of cutting edge conceptual understanding of everything that's happening here?
Yeah, great question. I've realized that if you can't measure it, it won't change, right? You start by measuring engineering, and that becomes very difficult. How do we really measure engineering, right? So we have a few KPIs and metrics which we look at extremely carefully across the board at ZoomInfo. An example is our mean time to restore service. It's a common industry-wide metric called MTTR, right? And that's focused on if any of your products or services go down in production, how quickly can you bounce back up? WorldClass says that on an average over a window of 30 days, it should be 30 minutes or less. So we definitely want to maintain that bar, right? So that metric is one. We have other metrics around change failure rates. What that means is for every 100 changes you're deploying to production, how many of them you need to rework because of a bug, right? And our bar for that is we want that to be 15% or below. So a few metrics like these are really important to me because it gives me a measure of things around the quality of what we are building out. And we measure cycle time as well, right? Your lead time to market. If a product manager comes to me and says, hey, this is a new feature, I want to be able to estimate how quickly we can go to market with that feature. And for that, I need to know how my engineering team is operating, right? What's the cycle time? So I have a set of metrics which we monitor fairly regularly, day by day, if not week by week. And we stay on top of that to make sure that we're continuing to deliver value for the business, right? Now, the other part of what you asked is, how do we stay abreast of the fast-changing world in tech, right? So for that, a lot of us ZoomInfo engineers attend conferences. We are part of several networks within different areas in Israel, in Boston, in India, and so on. We publish regular engineering blogs. You can look it up on our website. So a lot of engineers are encouraged to write about the cool things that we are doing, go and talk in different events. So we stay connected with the industry as well. And we are part of different engineering and product forums where we can actively listen and contribute to. So that's another way by which we kind of keep in touch with what's happening in the industry.
I'm going to ask something that probably a lot of people listening here would be curious to hear, and perhaps quite a few people within your own organizations as well. Mm-hmm. What does a person in your position actually do in the day-to-day? You know, a lot of people, we know what engineers are doing. We know a lot of team leaders are doing, even director level, but a person leading 500 people, I mean, you wake up in the morning, you say you work hard. What do you actually do in the day-to-day?
My son asked me this question about, I don't know, 10 years ago when he was like 3 or 4 years. And I told him, I actually thought about it. And I told him, I check email, I attend meetings, and that's pretty much what I do. That doesn't sound very inspiring to a 5-year-old. So the answer to your question is, I feel my most important job is to make sure engineering is aligned with the business. We exist to help the business grow. We exist to help the business set out the mission for the company, right? So alignment is extremely important in my role. And this is, like you said, a 500-person organization, globally distributed. And it's very easy to be misaligned and go off on a tangent and build out something which you think is important, but may not be the most important thing for the organization. So I actually obsess over that. I spend a lot of time reaching out to my VPs, my directors, their managers, their teams, through multiple communication mechanisms to make sure that we're super aligned on what we're doing, right? So this could be, you know, in-person meetings. It could be, you know, emails going out or announcements or blogs or messages, multiple ways by which we achieve that alignment. That is number one. That's really important, right? Second is, I think, from an organization perspective, investing in people is also really important at this level. You need to make sure that you have the right team to help the business. You need to hire, as always. The past 20 years, the industry has always been in a hiring spree, and it's always a war for getting the right talent, right? So continuously being on the lookout for right talent, investing in your own leaders, see how you can equip them to get to the next level is really important. And third, I would say I spend a lot of time partnering with the business, brainstorming on new product ideas, on where the product should be 2 years ahead, 3 years ahead, what kind of technical trends we should be anticipating, brainstorming with the architects on what are the new things that we know that we should adopt and maybe a few things we should consciously stay away from, right? So it's in those buckets, I would say, about alignment, about, you know, about talent, and about making sure that I'm working very closely with the business.
Is it easy for you to know if you're doing a good job or if you need to? No, I mean, because, you know, when I was an engineer, I had my Jira board and I had a sprint planning, and I had to, at the end of each quarter, come and say, did I meet the KPIs that I set for myself? And if I didn't, then why not? How do you, in your position, measure whether you've been a successful leader, at least to the expectations that you've set for yourself and for the rest of the leadership team?
That's an awesome question. Thanks for asking. I think the one way to look at it is easy, but after the fact, right? I will know when I've not done a good job because the measures that I spoke about earlier in terms of my quality metrics, stability metrics, will immediately tell me that, hey, the product is not stable or I have quality issues, right? So that's after the fact. That's one. My net promoter score for the products will dip, right, if there are product problems. So the negative part of whether I'm doing a good job is fairly obvious, but after the fact. Now, what I would want to get ahead of is, what are the input metrics which kind of influence that, right? What can I do upfront to make sure those things don't happen? And that is all about the reviews that we do, the kind of testing that we do, the analysis that we do, right? So the input metrics is something I feel I have control over. And the more I kind of focus on that, I know that it can influence the output of whether that part of my job is happening or not. On the people side, again, it becomes a fairly difficult one to measure because, again, it takes time. You're hiring talent. You're investing in your talent. How do you know if they're really turning out to the great leaders you want them to be? It takes time. You will get to know perhaps, you know, through the kind of processes they kick off or the behavior that they display, and you want to give them feedback around that, right? So that is a way you can influence that. But again, you know, that's another measure of success for me about the kind of leaders that I get into the organization and that I grow within the organization as well. So the short answer is, it's difficult, but it's definitely possible.
I like that. Manav, if you are looking today at engineers listening to this and in a variety of positions, and they're thinking, okay, what are some long-term things I need to be cognizant of to continue advancing and wherever I'm at, and I want to continue advancing in my career, What would be something that you would advise us to consider as we want to position ourselves as prominent leaders in an R&D sort of landscape?
Sure. I would say, firstly, think of the technical skills that you have as a must-have. That's a given, right? I mean, nobody is going to say you should not focus on technology and not be conversant sure. with the latest trends and so on, right? So that is something like a table stakes. You have to have that. The next thing I would say is collaboration. It's really important as an engineer to think beyond your immediate self and see how you can influence the other engineers you're working with, the product managers you're working with, the designers you're working with, the customer support folks. Talk to the salespeople as well, right, to get a sense of how they're selling your product. Collaborate with them, get their input, and that will help you develop a better product, right? And the third thing I would say is also invest in mentoring others, right? You are an engineer. As you grow up your career, you will work with a lot of relatively junior engineers. Be patient with them, invest in them, give them tips on how they can also become great engineers like you, right? And that way, if you're one person, you can invest in creating 10 other people, right? 10 other great engineers who in turn will create another 10. And that it has a compounding effect. That's what I would advise, honestly.
Adav, I really want to thank you. I really enjoyed listening and asking questions, and thank you for being here. I know how busy you are. Thank you for giving me the attention where you have 500 people waiting for your attention at this moment. So I appreciate the time and the energy, and obviously looking at the different things you've done, it's pretty clear how intentional you are about being a good leader, being a good manager, and always being at the forefront, both of technology, but also on leadership style. And I personally very much enjoyed this conversation. So thank you very, very much. Best of luck with your journey at ZoomInfo and every journey that you'll be on. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks a lot to you as well, Michael. I really enjoyed the conversation. I really appreciated your questions. They were very incisive. Thank you.
Thank you.